Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, one of the things that I can't understand is why people pay money to get scared. They'll go to horror movies, they'll go to a dense schoolhouse, there's all kinds of things. You know, I don't understand. If I want to get scared, all I got to do is sneak up on myself in the mirror. They like being in situations where they can control their fear, where they can, you know, get that little surge but not really be in danger. And fear can be a good thing. I mean, fear can keep you out of the emergency room. Fear can keep you out of jail. Maybe both. But fear can also protect you, but fear can also be devastating. It can make people afraid to get out of bed in the morning. It can make people afraid to care. It can destroy lives or emotions or minds. And fear, because of that reason, is one of Satan's most potent weapons. He uses it in many ways. He's, you know, sometimes he's real subtle about it. Sometimes he's right in your face with it. And this morning, I'd like to start by talking about a few ways that Satan uses fear. The first one is he roars. Let's see, in 1 Peter 5:8, it says that, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And it's just like a lion in the wild. He roars, but the main reason he roars is to get his prey to panic and run, or to freeze up and just, you know, wait there for him to come and devour him. And and Satan, he roars obviously in the world today. All you got to do is listen to the news a little bit, and you can see evil. It's almost overwhelming. Every time you think things are getting a little bit better, there it is again. It's just a little bit worse. And, you know, and he knows that he can affect people that way. And maybe not totally. You know, maybe get them to panic. And like I said, freeze up. Maybe freeze up inside or freeze up spiritually. And to stop doing what they should be doing, like running or protecting themselves. Another thing is, if he can't destroy our faith, then he at least tries to weaken it by getting us to think that we're failures as believers. And we all know we have shortcomings, some of us more than others. And Satan will play on those things. He uses different phrases, different terms to he can't destroy the faith, but he's going to make it weak until one day that roaring like a lion will make us break. You know, one of the phrases he uses is, if you really believed, you wouldn't have any doubts or questions. Everybody at one time or another has questions or doubts. But instead of listening to him try to drag you down, we should be going to the Father with him and tell him that, yeah, I'm not so sure about this. Are you sure about this? And he will help us. Another thing that Satan tries to do is to get us to give up trying. How many of you guys have gotten your mower out the first time and tried to start that sucker and it will not start? So it almost makes you want to say bad words. And you just keep, you know, and you just hit it and throw things at it and just keep on trying and keep on trying and keep on trying. Then all of a sudden, one time, it starts. Makes it all worth it then. It's not to say there's not frustration in between times. And we don't, you know, wish that it would just be magically work. But, you know, we keep on trying and eventually we find success. But the same thing happens in our spiritual lives too. Or we're trying to live a better life. You know, when we're trying to change and we're trying to make things better. And it seems like every time we think we finally got it under control, there we go, right back down the slide again, right back to where we were. And, you know, it's just frustrating. You know, and if he could get us to keep, to give up trying, then that fear starts to build in, well, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I'll never do it. Or, you know, he keeps on mumbling in our ears and whispers in our ears. And, you know, until eventually we get in the situation where he uses the phrase, if you were the Christian you were supposed to be, you wouldn't be in the mess you're in. Like sometimes everything that happens to us is our fault. It's not. You know, the Lord knows that too, that you know, sometimes we're just, well, first of all, we're human, so we're prone to be fear, you know, and have fears and everything. Like I said earlier, fears can be a very good thing. But Satan will try to do it to harm us, to wear away at our faith, wear away at our persistence, wear away at our caring and the things that we're supposed to do. And try to get us to focus on ourselves and how miserable we feel. And so I don't have time for those people. I don't have time for caring about somebody else. I'm just so miserable right now. I'm just going to worry about myself. Look out for number one. Instead of looking to number one, they look out for number one, which is sort of sad. And then all those things that Satan does, he uses those fears, whether they're, you know, silly things or major things. He uses them to try to wear down our faith. If he can't destroy it, he'll try to wear it down. But we have weapons. There are ways to fight back against fear. You know, one of them is in Proverbs 18:10, where it says, I hope, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. You know, when we hear those things, he starts whispering in your ear, those things I mentioned earlier, he goes, if you just, what happens if you don't? What happens if this doesn't work? Then that's the time to run to the Father. Don't walk. Do not pass go. Run. Get there as fast as you can. Because it's a safe place. It's a place where my favorite hymn is A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, which is probably because of my heritage, but that kind of thing. You know, we can go to the fortress, and that doesn't mean all the fear goes away. And that doesn't mean we still can't hear it outside in our brains and stuff trying to get at us. But we run to the Father, we have a resource that will protect us, that will calm us. Sort of like when you've got a little one and a thunderstorm comes and they get, you know, upset and frightened. They'll come and run in your arms and you hold them and they calm down. Doesn't make the thunderstorm go away, but because they're in a secure place, they go to somebody who can protect them. They feel safe and they are safer. And the same thing's true with us when we run to our Father, that he's there and he'll protect us. You know, and another interesting thing is he won't ask us, how'd you get in this mess? He already knows. But he won't worry about that. He's just worried about getting you out of it. Not how you got into it. Not right away, anyway. Might be something to discuss later. You know, the other thing about a way to fight and resist and fight fear is to know and know that he is with you even in the darkest times. You know, in Psalm 23:4, it says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, or the valley of shadow of death, more familiar maybe, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, and in those times when that fear starts to become overwhelming, or it starts to bother us, keeps us from doing things, to know that you're not on your own. The Lord's right there with you. He wants to help you. You know, and you think about it, even the, I shouldn't say goofballs, but people that go to the dense schoolhouse. I don't know anybody that's ever gone through that thing place by themselves. I'm afraid to meet someone that would do that. But, you know, the idea of having someone with you, that takes care, that helps. You know, if you've got a doctor's appointment that, especially, I keep on thinking about children. You know, if you're there, it helps them a little bit. They're not so afraid. They're, you know, still nervous and they're scared, but at least somebody's there to help them, to hold them if they need to be held. You know, and sometimes they need to be held down. We had my grandson one time had to go get a shot. I held him down. The nurse held him down. His grandma held him down. And he still busted my lip. Because he didn't want to be shot. And he was afraid. But once he got that shot that one time, it's no big deal. You know, we need to realize those things, that we can run to the Father, that we can run to our fortress, and we can, you know, depend on him. And even if it gets as dark as you can imagine, even if you are alone, and it's scary to be alone, especially in a lot of situations, that he still is there with you. And we need to remind ourselves of that, because sometimes we listen to the fear and we listen to Satan whisper to us. And like the roaring lion, we forget things that we should remember. That he will be there and help us. You know, and sometimes Satan also uses other people to try to distract us and to put fear in our hearts. I've got a couple scriptures here. 1 Peter 3:14. And Isaiah, I've got them here somewhere. I really do. Excuse me. In 1 Peter 3:14, Peter says, but even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. Now he's talking about other persecutions, but same goes for Satan. The other scripture I have is in Isaiah 8:12. And Isaiah says, do not call conspiracy everything this people calls conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. And do not dread it. You know, a lot of people, they'll warn you about your behavior, or warn you, well, if you go to that church long enough, they'll make you a fanatic, or you won't be any fun anymore. Or you can't, you know, you won't be able to do this, or you won't be able to do that. And they'll try to put that fear in you that you'll be an oddball or something, which may not always be wrong. But, you know, there again, Satan is trying to keep us from going as far as we should by using other people. Remember that what even the Lord said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter thought he was doing a good thing. But Jesus saw it for what it was. And we need to do the same thing. You know, a lot of times that when people say those things, like they're just doing it for your own good, that very seldom is true. But what they're trying to do is, instead of letting you lift up and be positive and be the person that the Lord wants you to be, they're trying to drag you down in the hole they're in and try to make you as miserable as they are and try to make you as afraid as they are. And they try, you know, they sort of build walls around themselves, which nobody can get through because they think they're protecting themselves. And really all they are is building their own prisons because they're that afraid. Afraid of what's out there. You know, it's hard sometimes even to talk to people like that because they are just so sad and so afraid. So eventually they get you to be afraid if you listen to them long enough. So don't listen to those who are trying to frighten you. Resist them. Tell them, you know, leave me alone. I don't want to hear it. And it's nonsense. You know, and sometimes when you're the one that's not afraid, whatever the situation may be, you can be a witness to those who are. You can help someone else get through the hard times and the difficult times. And the other thing you can do is fight back when Satan tries to use fear with prayer and faith. You know, tell Satan to go to wherever he belongs. You know? Or do a Dorothy, which might confuse a lot of you. Remember in The Wizard of Oz, when they're going through the forest? And, you know, lions and tigers and bears and all, they're talking, they're getting themselves more and more afraid. And the lion comes out. And the lion finally gets Toto? Is that right, Toto? And Dorothy gets so mad, she just takes it and smacks the lion in the nose. That's what you need to do. Smack Satan in the nose. Tell him, leave me alone. I'm a child of God. You can't, don't bother me anymore. You know, and I don't know if he'll turn into a wimp like the lion did, but it's a weapon. You know, we fight back. You can't just, if you just let it go or try to run away from fear, you'll never conquer it. And that's why it's important sometimes to fight back, to face your fear. You know, and realize, you know, that the other is a danger, but I'm gonna resist the best I can. And remember too, again, you've got the Father on your side, you've got Jesus with you all the time. He's there to help you get just a little bit farther. Take that one extra step. Resist that one extra time. But there, you know, there's a couple examples of believers who overcame fear in a way in Acts. And if you remember the stories, Paul and Silas, for one, they were arrested and they were in prison and it was late at night and they probably hadn't had a real good day. And then it says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. They were so in tune. I'm sure they had fears and they had, you know, concerns, but they didn't let it control the way they acted. They were a witness to the other prisoners and to themselves. They were praying and they were singing hymns. They knew what to do. They ran to the fortress and prayed. And of course, you know, later there was an earthquake and they got out and things worked out. But at the time, they didn't know. But they overcame the fear and did what they were supposed to do. Pray, turn to the Lord, depend on other Christians, each other. And at the same time, they were able to be a witness to all the others. And the other person I'm thinking about, it's Peter in Acts 12, which to me is sort of one of the funniest things in Scripture. You know, Peter had been arrested by Herod. He was going up for trial the next day. Probably going to die. And did Peter sing hymns and pray? No, Peter took a nap. He took such a nap, the angel had trouble waking him up. He's going, can you see the picture? Hey, Peter, man, come on, get up. Wake up, we got to go. And Peter was so out of it, he thought he was having a vision. You know, you can almost imagine in your head how he, yeah, okay, we're going to go. Let's help me get dressed. And he didn't even realize what was going on until they got outside the prison and went down one length of one street. And then all of a sudden Peter realized, wait a minute, what just happened? But he knew, even before that, before all the miracles happened, he knew that regardless of what happened, that he would end up in a safe place. The Lord would take care of him. Doesn't mean the trouble would go away or that he wouldn't die. But he would be okay in the long run. God would be there with him. You know, and sometimes it's easy to fall in the trap to think, boy, can things get any worse? And what is the old Creedence song? Things got better and things got worse. Yeah, sometimes they can. Sometimes they can get a lot worse. But the thing is that no matter how hard the attack is, how dark it gets, even if the darkness is inside our heads, or it starts to creep into our souls, which is really frightening, even when it gets that bad, that there's still always one safe place, one place we can go to, always one safe place, and that's in our Father's arms. We can always be safe there. And pray with me, please. Father, we thank you so much for the love that helps us to have that one safe place, that enables us to have someone to turn to and somewhere to go, and that we don't have to be afraid. Or if we are afraid, we don't have to give in to our fears. Father, thank you again, and help us to be brave and to be strong and to depend on you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Thank you so much, Joe. Need a hand? Ready? Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Sir. Yeah, on our adventures, we had a few different moments that he connected with. We had we walked 80 miles, and probably a third of that was hiking. One of the hikes we had was a mile and a half hike, just kind of straight up. It was 1,000 feet elevation in the desert of, where were we at that point? California. And right ahead of us, we had heard there's signs everywhere, watch out for rattlesnakes, and we're like, oh, man. We're kind of scared to see one, but kind of excited that maybe we'd see one. And then we saw one slither across the path, and we slowed down a bit after that, and we were a little more mindful. And we had hiked up to the top of the mountain to watch the sunset, so we then were hiking back down a mountain that we just saw a rattlesnake on as the light was disappearing because the sun had set. So I think we all had a little bit of fear. And as the dad, I couldn't show as much because I had to be that safe place. You know, dad's not scared. We won't be scared, but dad was scared. So we had another moment when we were in the San Diego Zoo. And I don't know if you've ever had a chance to hear a lion roar, like right in front of it. It's pretty, well, yeah. Lisa's like, yeah, I've heard it. It is an amazing sound. And that reminded me when Joe brought up that verse this morning, I immediately heard what we had experienced last week, and it can be, it rattles you when a lion roars. You feel it. It's like a rock concert. You feel the vibration from its roar. And those things can happen in our relationship as we're walking with God, and Satan tries to create those moments of fear, and you hear it, and not just hear it. I mean, Peter's illustration there of a lion was an amazing illustration, because you don't just hear it, you feel it. You feel that. And sometimes we're walking in darkness and we know there's scary things around, but we can be assured that the Father is with us. And it's not a human Father, it's a heavenly Father who not only is acting like he's not scared, he actually is not scared. He's in control. And if you have that assurance, if you're a Christian, you have that assurance that no matter how loud or how intimidating the lion roars, God's got you. You have one safe place. And no matter how scary or dark it can get, or how many slithering things might cross your path and you know they're out there as you're walking in the darkness, God is with you. So during this next song, maybe we need to reflect on that as Christians, and the assurance that we have in our faith, and the comfort that we have one safe place. If you're here this morning and you're outside of Christ, you don't have that guarantee. But that can change. That's one decision. That's one decision away from changing, from being outside of a safe place to being inside of a safe place. From being outside of the Father's arms to being inside the Father's arms. This morning, if you've never been baptized in Christ, if you've never made a decision to give your life to Christ, to be baptized in Him, immersed, because of the result of your decision, your faith, if you want to do that this morning, we invite you.